Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. I need to say something before we start, though. I haven't even talked during pre-show chat. I have big-time sledgehammer hands. That even clapping hurt just then. I gripped a sledgehammer for legit like 6 hours yesterday.
Did you wear gloves or no?
I switched to gloves a little bit late. I have a little, you know, there's certain things that I always have been the type of guy who tries to get stuff done the easiest way. I'm a big time smarter, not harder type of fella. And I'm always like, okay, I'll figure out the easiest way to do it. The quickest way between two points is a straight line, essentially. So I have these posts that I need to bury. I live in Texas where the ground is hard as shit. Like, it's ridiculously hard. It's like the opposite of a frozen tundra. It's just a brick oven here. Like, the ground. You cannot... My friends who have gardens and stuff like that, sickos. They are absolute sickos to enjoy doing that kind of shit.
To enjoy tilling the land of Texas.
Dude, I'm like, what are you guys doing with shovels? Like, I don't know how they get through it. I was trying to put these 4x4 posts in the ground. So I'm researching different ways to do it here in Texas. One way is to just drive these spikes into the ground, and you put it in there, and then you screw the little 4x4 in there. I must have been beaten on this wood and metal for legit 3 or 4 hours yesterday.
What a great workout, though.
I know.
No, it's not a great workout because it was just a little one. It was just for my hands. I told my wife, I was like, I have sledgehammer shoulders, arms, wrist, and hands. Like, that's the only thing that I worked out. And I did it like a little bit at a time to make sure that I was going to be equal. Halfway through, I was like, I want to give up. And then I tried to pull the stake out. It's not going anywhere.
Oh,
that's
man.
Permanently part of my house.
Oh, yeah. Not going anywhere.
There, when you were doing your research, was there anything that said maybe put water in the ground to maybe soften it up a little?
No, it doesn't. You just make soup. Like the amount of water that you can get into that level of dryness, it's just not going to happen.
Got it.
Well, I watched a Dateline yesterday, speaking of rough sledgehammer hands, where the guy ended up getting caught for the murder because he had shovel hands from digging a hole for the body. So be careful with your shovel and sledgehammer hands, everyone.
That's getting caught dry-handed. That's
indeed,
what they call that in the
truly.
Business.
Wear gloves is the moral of the story here.
Yeah, my hands are all jacked up, but it does feel good. Like, whenever you're sometimes bleeding your own blood feels good.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Bloodletting is the best. Today we have four rounds in the magazine. Five rounds. We have some rounds. I don't know.
There are some rounds.
Some rounds. We have some shit to talk about. Round number one, the Space Force is simper super goofing to infinity and beyond. And because of one airman who doesn't sound like a big old nerd at all, this guy, I can't wait to tell you, he is... When you think of Air Force recruit, like, this guy is it. He's a laser tag referee.
Whoa.
And possible future boyfriend of old Catherine, because he's also a magician. She likes the magicians out there.
I do. I'm a magician myself, so.
Do you guys know what a Marine magician says?
No, what?
He says, abracadab, ura, is what he says.
Oh, okay.
No. Round number two, the Navy SEAL Museum is in hot water, and it's not because someone wrote an unauthorized book this time. Somehow, some way, some dummies thought that dressing a decoy like Colin Kaepernick was a good idea. Spoiler alert, It was not. Round number three. Would you become a penis garden if asked by your country? It's worth exploring. Round number four, there's a tragic incident involving a Marine AAV, and we're going to give you some details about that terrible story coming out of California over the weekend. And finally, round number five, coronavirus has turned normal events into bizarre experiences. I had one this weekend, and I'm going to tell you guys all about it, and I'm going to do so with a free fat belly full of Feltmans of Coney Island, because they're the best hot dogs in the game. It's a veteran-run and Gold Star family business that was revived in 2015. The founders revived the brand in honor of their late brother, Jimmy, who was tragically killed on 9/11. The majority of the company has served in the U.S. military, including three West Point grads, which they like to point out is the North of the North. Feltman's team. I don't know why, but that joke makes me laugh. West Point to Norwich of the North is a good one.
Especially when Norwich is more north than West Point. That's what is great.
It's levels. It's just like calling UTSA the Harvard of South Texas.
Yep.
Feltman's is 100% natural, all beef hot dogs. They're nitrate free, which makes Kate happy. You know how much Kate hates those fucking nitrates. How much do you hate? Why do you hate nitrates, Kate?
I just like my hot dogs to be, I want to know what's in them, and just fresh and to the point. Just give me straight up hot diggity dog. And that's what Feltman's does, chaps.
That's absolutely right. And they'll do it for 60 days. That's how long they'll stay in the refrigerator and up to 10 months in the freezer. Go to feltmansofcolonyisland.com. And service members, veterans and first responders, you're going to get 10% off with the ID.me checkout. If you haven't used that, there's a bunch of websites you can check out with ID.me. They give you a military discount in different places, veteran discounts. They just verify some information first. Tag ZBT and Feltman's Experience on Instagram at Feltman's Coney Island is where you're going to find them. Let's go ahead and start the show. Last week, you were heading down to old Aunt Peg's party palace down there in the shore. Did you have a good time?
The exciting news of the weekend is that I tinted my eyebrows.
Oh.
Yeah.
You did. I thought you looked different. What? I was going to say Katie makeup today, but you Katie eyebrow tinted.
Yeah, and I look very expressive and very alert. And
you do.
It turned out way darker than I thought it was going to, and I can't stop wiggling. Also, I chopped my hair off this weekend.
Did you do it yourself?
No, but I mean, look at it. It looks like
two
dog ears.
Short. Wow.
So, mistakes were made.
Let me ask a question. The eyebrow tinting, what was the impetus for that?
Chardonnay. Anyways, how was your guys' weekend?
I had an excellent weekend. It was full of golf. I've reached that point of the summer where my golf game's pretty dialed in. My last three rounds, I've gone 79, 82, 82, and they could certainly be lower, but it's a good feeling. But also, the game of golf is so stupid. Yesterday, I started out par birdie, and I'm thinking, let's go, buddy. You're going to have a day. Next three holes, double, bogey, double. I still finished with the 82, but the game of golf is so dumb. But
do you want to tell the listeners about your fantasy team while we're at it?
No, but it is important to let everyone know how amazing I am at golf. But
I agree.
More importantly, there's no point in playing golf unless you can tell people what you shot.
Not.
Seriously.
There's no point in anything if you don't share it.
Exactly.
Like, so I saw somebody that had like 150,000 followers on Twitter, like, you don't have to put all your hobbies on Twitter. Shut up. Yes,
yeah,
you do. Like, that's the entire point.
I had my phone away most of the weekend, and I was like, oh, what's the point of anything I'm doing? Like, it's very stressful having it away now. I mean,
did you guys happen to see the post on my Instagram story of that hot dog I had yesterday?
It was a doozy.
Legit 16-inch hot dog. I didn't know what to do with it. I really didn't know what to do with it when I got it.
You should have thrown it in the garbage if it wasn't a Feltman's.
It wasn't a Feltman's, but I think Feltman's appreciates other long dogs.
Okay.
Well, I doubt it.
Bold move.
But I did come home and I had, last Thursday
God
evening.
God damn it, cunts.
Last Thursday evening, speaking of Feltman's, I came home from the bar. I had some drinks with some other folks and I decided, hey, I'm still hungry. So I took three Feltman's hot dogs and one chicken sausage that just randomly happened to be in my refrigerator. Put those bad boys in the air fryer, flipped on Warrior on the television, had myself a cry, and delicious Feltman's hot dogs.
Warrior, the movie? What is that? Isn't that like some cheesy
thing? No, it's not cheesy at all. It's Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. They fight in this MMA tournament, but they're estranged brothers, and they're both have problems with their dad. And at the end, if you're not crying, you do not have a heart.
Well, I'll watch it. I'll stream it and see if I'll cry. I probably will.
Yeah.
Because I'm the Steph Curry of crying.
Chaps, you were telling us, I don't know if remember if we were recording or not, you had another weekend of activities.
Yeah.
I did?
With your, were we recording when you were talking about pounding posts?
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. that's what was happening this weekend. My brain has shifted so much, guys. Now, I was driving down the road here. And this is so stupid. So I went in a new donut place. Now, when you're a dad and your responsibilities on Sunday morning include go get the donuts, there's certain donut spots that the entire family loves. There's one by our house that's called Super Donut. Or it might be called Instant Donut. There's two that are like the exact same. And we usually go there. There's a new spot that opened up called Duck Donuts. And they make the donuts kind of like voodoo donuts in
Portland.
That's
a chain. Yeah, Duck Donuts is a... Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're famous for their sweet-ass donuts, yes.
Oh, they were fucking good. Like, we stopped in there and I brought them home. Everybody loved them. They were still warm, rave reviews. There's nothing like that as a dad when you crush the donut run on a Sunday morning.
When I travel, two things. I like to check out the small-time breweries because I feel like you get to chat up the super local people behind the bar and like get a vibe for the area. But donuts, whenever I travel, I always try to look up a new donut spot. You discover, you're like, oh, how different can they be?
They're
different. When you get a good one that like blows your dick off, it makes my day. I'm a huge all in on donut lady.
I had one that my dick was straight up across the room, like what we're going to talk about in round number two.
Mm-hmm.
that was fucked up. So I had a warm s'mores donut. It had it was like a regular old fashioned like coffee type of donut that was then put into a chocolate sauce, and then they put graham cracker on top of that, like as the dusting, and then did a little marshmallow glaze on the top.
I had an apple fritter this weekend that if you get it like triple deep fried with the
Can I tell you about an apple fritter?
Please. Yes.
Have I ever told you about the Al Asad apple fritter?
No.
So you guys know, like we talk shit a lot about food whenever you're deployed, like going to different chow halls and shit like that. Primarily, you're going to have the same thing. Lunch and dinner are going to be the same, like really types of food that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have good breakfast. You have like powdered eggs, the same kind of toast, bullshit Otis Spunkmeyer muffins. Well, when I was leaving Iraq, we went to Al Asad, and they had a huge chow hall there. Like the chow hall in Al Asad was enormous. And they had this apple fritter, man, and it was made locally, I believe, and it was warm. It was the first good breakfast I ever had, like, in months. And so when I got there and I took a bite of this apple fritter, it really made my heart dance. It was what I needed to get through the next couple weeks.
A good
Without
donut,
that apple fritter, I just don't know.
It's a game changer, man. Yeah,
I'll tell you what.
Not in on the donut game.
Yeah, but a warm donut or a warm bagel, those are both that can really just blow you away.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So go to feltmansofconeyisland.com, ID me, and you'll get 10% off. Let's get going with the actual rounds today, which are pretty interesting. Will they go from interesting, funny, and horrific all at the same time? Basically, that's what our show is like. So we're going to start off in Rampside Journey. This is one of the happier stories of the day. There was a junior airman, and he got a surprise call from the head of the Space Force, and it wasn't Michael Scott. I can't look. I watched Space Force. I don't think we've actually talked about it on the show. I watched it. I don't think it was that good.
Okay.
Like I
watched,
what do you think, Cons?
I watched one episode, and here's when I know I'm not really into a show. If I give it 20 minutes phone down, and then I pick my phone up and I'm just like looking at my phone, I was not into it. Maybe I need to give it more than one episode, but it really just didn't grab me right away. And you would think it would with the cast that it
has.
I know, the cast is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I never watched it because I have a resentment towards The Office. I'm burned out on
Wait, why do you resent The Office? Just because everyone talks about it? Because
everybody else likes it.
Because everybody talks about it as like the greatest thing on the planet. And I'm like, yes, it's funny. But I'm over. I can't. I'm
just going to Michael Scott. And that one had very Michael Scott vibes, but he wasn't as Michael Scotty.
Yeah.
John Malkovich is always awesome. I think that dude is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I digress.
Yeah.
I would give the show a 1. I wouldn't watch it again. A big time 1. Well, the scale's only to 3.
Okay.
I should have said that at the beginning. So there's a junior airman that's in Ramstein Air Force Base. Kate, tell us a little bit about this fella.
All right. He got a big-time surprise call recently from the head of the Space Force informing him he was about to become, as Chaps already said, become part of the newest service in the branch's history. Space Force officials would announce the following day that they had selected as the service's motto a phrase that the 86th Airlift Wing Airman First Class Daniel Sanchez had coined, Semper Supra, which means always above. So I guess they had a contest where anybody could submit names, and this Wing Airman First Class put in Semper Supra, always above. It's just very surreal, Sanchez said Friday, seated outside the base's enlisted club as both an ambulance and train go by my apartment, recalling his video chat with General John Raymond. I wish Spacey McSpace Face had been the one that they picked. The native of Haverstraw, New York, which I'm familiar with, I've been drunk there a couple times, enlisted in October 2018 after earning his bachelor's degree in computer science at New York City's Nyack College, and then trying out a variety of jobs, including a laser tag referee, magician, security guard, and substitute teacher.
That last one really doesn't fit.
Referee, I disagree.
Magician,
I disagree
security guard, substitute. Yeah, maybe. All right. Now that I say it out loud. Okay.
I feel like these are the three things that make you a great substitute teacher. A referee, a magician, and a security guard. That's the
And you go in there, if you're a substitute teacher, you let the kids know right away that you're a laser tag ref. Because, you know, laser tag ref, you got to have good eyesight.
Yes.
You're like, hey, don't be thinking you're going to get away with all kind of shenanigans, passing notes and what have you. I'm a laser tag ref. I got night vision goggles.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And at the time, this gentleman was living in Florida near Patrick Air Force Base in Cape Canaveral, home of the 45th Space Wing, and had met Air Force veterans who spoke well of the service. His father has also been an Army reservist. Sanchez chose to enlist at 33 years old to get my foot in the door, he said, because he'd fear he'd missed the age cutoff for earning a commission. While running to prepare for basic training, he would listen to the service's songs, which is where he got the germ of the idea for the Space Force motto from the Coast Guard's Semper Paratus, or Always Ready. I guess Semper Fidelis.
Yeah, the article went on to mention all those other Sempers everywhere. I would have preferred if it was like just the gaming version, because the gaming branches of the military have been in the news with AOC trying to get the different branches off of Twitch and not being able to recruit on there. I would like the Army's official team motto to be Semper Super Contra. That's what I
would
like.
Whoa.
I support that. Yeah. As the lone Army veteran on the show, I support that.
That would be a great name. That's the reason for the whole round. I just wanted that.
You wanted to make that comment?
Yeah.
Right.
That's commitment.
I just feel like we have enough Sempers already. Like, leave the Sempers alone. I do like Always Above. I think that's good and all.
Can we just stop like with the Latin? Enough. I mean, my God.
And the logo's shitty, too. The logo's like a mix
the
between
logo
Star Trek
is,
and something else.
I'm sorry to say, the logo's hot garbage. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Space Force.
It's
has
so
zero
weird.
Tradition.
It looks like a bad video game logo. Yeah, so I'm not loving it. I don't love the logo. I don't love I feel like
now,
so
we
much
talked about it a couple months
do.
Ago, Kate. I'm sensing a little changing in the clouds, kind of like Kyle's dealing with the hurricane of ruin. Are you or are you not out on the Space Force?
No, I'll never be out in the Space Force, but I just wish they were making
a strong
better
statement.
If I could re-enlist in any branch and be guaranteed to ride in those airplanes that let you be weightless for a few minutes in the space, I would re-up in the Space Force.
Like if your MOS was just like
space goofing? Yeah, it was just somersaults. If my MOS was free floating somersaults, then yes, I would join in a heartbeat.
They're going to have a team that does that, right? A zero gravity team. You know, the Army is with their budget. They're going to have a zero gravity team.
100%. Oh, they're going to have synchronized floating. Synchronized floating is going to be the Space Force thing, and it's going to be a delight, and I would like in on it. Yes.
Yeah, that's going to ultimately one day become an Olympic sport, so they'll have an entire team dedicated to just preparing for the Olympics year in and year out, or excuse me, every 4 years.
Mm-hmm. But Kate, probably Jenna Burkhead.
Probably.
Yeah.
Kate, would you forego enlisting if we could just get invited and go do the space walk one time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you see, I saw on Reddit today, speaking of space goofing, in 1984, did you guys know that one of the astronauts flew 320 feet outside of the space station and was completely untethered, just goofing in space?
What?
Out by himself, and he had to turn on, like, the little packet, you know, on The Martian, which if you haven't read the – now, I will say this. I say read very loosely. Listen to the audiobook of The Martian. It is fantastic, and I understand cons. Normally, you can't say that you read the book if it's an audiobook type of thing.
Correct.
This one is a book. There is zero chance I get through this book if it's not an audiobook. Mm-hmm. I can't read astrophysics terms. I don't know what they're talking about when they say this, but the guy who's reading the book just spews through it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I understand that. That's like magnetic field goofing. That's what they're doing out there. Mm-hmm. So this guy turns on his little pack like he does, like Matt Damon does in The Martian, to get a little bit of a boost, and that's the way he made it back. I can't imagine something more scary that doesn't involve fire or drowning than looking at a spaceship while you are floating in the opposite direction. You have to be like, my mom was right. This was a stupid field for me to get into because I'm very smart.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think it's so important that there's zero gravity in space, because the size of the cojones it would take to be able to do that and just float away from the space station, which, by the way, just going into space, I think by itself is pretty crazy. So then to go outside the somewhat safe confines of a spaceship and to just be floating in space,
and
huge cojones.
Or flaps.
He designed that rig himself. So if it doesn't work...
Now we just up the crazy factor.
He designed it himself with like a team of smart NASA people, but it was all on him. And it's incredible. I did a ZB history on it, so yeah.
Hard pass.
I wonder if you can feel like your body, because you know they have these little water pellets or whatever that float around, the little water balls that go in there, and then they drink them and think it all. I wonder if you could feel your blood whenever you're there. Like, if you're, how does your body keep things with gravity on the inside? How does that work?
Good question. If only there was a show that could invite on astronauts to talk to them about these sorts of things.
Well, it's because your body is encased, so it's got its own little system going on. Like,
speaking of being in case, so is Feltman's hot dogs. Feltman's hot dogs are unbelievably delicious and nitrate free. Go to feltmansofcolonyisland.com to get all your hot dogs with ID.me. Let's move on to round number two. This one got the whole squad was fucking furious this weekend. I think that people have listened to our show. How many episodes we got? 287?
286. This is 287 as we speak.
So we have a lot of shows under our belt. And when there's a moment like what happened this weekend with this video that came out of the people at the Navy SEALs Museum releasing a dog on somebody that's wearing a Colin Kaepernick jersey, and we get a million different tweets and ads like, how do you guys feel about this? You know how we feel about it. We don't like it. It's stupid. Well, why do we need to say for everything that's bad, this is bad?
Confirmed bad.
Obviously, you know what we think. This is fucking terrible. Like, why would you do this? I think that what's going on here is just complete idiocy. Just to be in charge here and to watch this and to think this is a good idea at a public demonstration is a baffling level of a lack of leadership and a lack of foresight, even though it was over a year ago. So what's going on is the Navy Special Warfare Command is investigating a video that showed a military working dog attacking a target in a Colin Kaepernick jersey during a demonstration at a Navy SEAL museum last year. The video captions read, quote, Colin Kaepernick stand-in Josh gets attacked by five Navy SEAL dogs for not standing during the national anthem at the Navy Museum fundraiser. The video was originally posted to Instagram in January of 2019, but started recirculated on Sunday on Twitter. The Naval Special Warfare Command said in a statement on this afternoon that they had learned of the video just on Sunday, and that the inherent message of this video is completely inconsistent with the values and ethos of the Special Warfare, or the Naval Special Warfare and the U.S. Navy. We are investigating the matter fully, and initial indications are that there are no active duty naval personnel or equipment involved with this independent organization's event. Now, as a dog handler, we do demonstrations like this all the time. Like, people were asking, is it normal to show the dogs and what they could do in attack? Yes. What these folks were doing, completely different. Five dogs attacking one person is stupid. Like, it's just dumb in a public setting where anything can happen. I mean, just Kate's has only had a few experiences being around the working dogs. Things can go bad really quickly. Like, this is essentially like having a bunch of a pistol demonstration and people just twirling and doing all kinds of fucking Wyatt Earp shit. Like, you don't do that in a demonstration, and you definitely don't do it of being divisive. I don't understand being intentionally divisive as a service member and saying this pocket of the U.S. is not valuable. To me, that it's baffling on a leadership. It's baffling, like, working at an organization like the Navy SEALs, which is just supposed to bring a positive light to what they do, and then to be out there like this, you just look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. The caption, again, like, Colin Kaepernick, stand-in Josh, gets attacked by five Navy SEALs up for not standing during the national anthem. If you're the kind of person scrolling that, you're like, I just hate you. You're just such a loser. I hate you so much. Like, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that.
I have a question, yeah, and a statement. Question, chaps. I've never seen, and you're going to have to tell, I've never seen a situation where they would release five dogs on one individual. That's just not protocol, correct?
I know
it's a demonstration, but even still.
Like, in a real life scenario, it's possible that you have a scenario where you can release one or two. Me, as a handler, if somebody else released their dog already and the dog is actively biting somebody, I'm not sending my dog in. Because if that dog – it's like if those dogs start fighting or getting possessive. No. I mean, these dogs were obviously – to me, like, as a handler, these dogs are obviously the same age, about the same size. They're probably litter mates that are all training together and have been around each other their entire lives. But that's just not training. Like, you just don't do that kind of stuff. It's stupid.
Yeah, so that was my question. If you have five dogs, is there a possibility that the dogs start attacking each other?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, maybe not them because they're litter mates and stuff like that. But it's just, beyond that, it's just dumb. I mean, that type of training teaches equipment dependency, where the dog only wants to attack people who are wearing the equipment. It's just not good. And putting somebody in a Kaepernick jersey does not increase – like, the holy shit, this was awesome. It takes away. Like, if you go to that demonstration and you see just a normal dog demonstration, people think, oh, that's cool. Now you have this out there and you add a little element to it. And they're trying to do it for Goose. It was in 2019. Just don't be fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I'm seeing comparisons, like, you know, those famous photos from Birmingham in 1963, like when the dogs got unleashed on the protesters. And, like, I feel like, I know this wasn't what they were thinking of, but it's just so tone deaf and so, especially sicking, like, multiple dogs. Like, it just looks real bad. And I just, don't be fucking stupid. That's a fucking stupid thing to do. It's just so shitty.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll say is that I think we've kind of talked ad nausea about the Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling situation, but if you disagree with Colin Kaepernick, that's fine. You're allowed to disagree. But even if you do disagree, then you don't get to condemn the other side. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're condemning his message by putting this gentleman in a Kaepernick jersey. They're just saying that everything he wants to stand for, you know, no pun intended there, doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't warrant any sort of attention except to have dogs attack them. So I just think it's very, what's the word?
I just think they don't know how to be funny. I'll say it. You can kill like a motherfucker. Good on you. We need nutty people like you out there doing
But those
that.
Were, I don't even think those were Navy SEALs.
No, yeah. Like, no. It seems like they were an independent company just at the Navy SEAL Museum. So,
right.
I don't know. Just kind of silly at this
point. It's like when you look at on TikTok, either super right or super left TikTok, and they think they're being funny, and neither is funny. It's like, no, right. You just don't know how to be funny. Mm-hmm. You're trying, but that's okay. Anyway.
That's cute
that you're trying.
Speaking of trying, there's one dude in round number three that's going to be trying to have sex because he's grown a dick on his arm. This is pretty impressive, this story.
Is it? I don't know the story, but are we going with impressive?
I think it's going to be like an actually really, because what we talked about last week and how devastating that shit is. Yes, I think it's pretty fucking sweet. So go on, Jeff.
So there, this story came from the Standard from the UK, and it says that a father who lost his penis due to a severe blood infection became the first man to have a new, quote, living one built on his arm. And that one, the pronoun antecedent is dick, is what they're talking about there. And is soon to have it rebuilt. The National Health Service experts made Malcolm McDonald, 45, a new penis through a 50,000-pound arm graft procedure. 50,000 pounds. How much is that, do we think, off the top of our head? I think...
What do you mean by that? 50,000 pounds? I'm sorry, I'm not understanding
money.
That. Oh, I was like, holy shit, that's a lot of pounds of dick.
Yeah, no.
Jesus.
He's not doing a what was that one fellow's name that has a monster cock? Not Owen Gray. Who's the other dude?
Owen Gray.
Steele.
Yeah.
Right? What's his name? Something
There's a
Steele.
Few of them.
Michael Steele.
A few of them out there.
Oh, okay. I know Danielle who you're talking Steele? About. Shoot. No.
She's a novelist.
Anyway.
Anyway, somebody with the last name Steele has a big dick. And it's a 50,000-pound arm graft procedure. The father of two from Norfolk has endured a long-term penis infection, right? That perineum? That's penis, right? Which saw his penis turn black before completely falling off in 2014. Yikes.
Not a great feeling.
Oh, it happened to a toenail for me, but it's very different. Mm-hmm. The mechanic who turned to drinking heavily after a distressing experience told the Sun how he simply picked up his appendix and put it in the bin. When the day came, as he had been warned by doctors, it would be inevitably. I think if I was told by doctors, hey, dude, you're just going to be goofing around the old mechanic shop and your dick's going to fall off and you're going to put it in a bin, I think I'm opting to go and act like my dick is essentially my wisdom teeth and having it voluntarily removed. Like, I don't want to go through all that of it just like picking it up if it fell out my basketball shorts onto the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That whole thing, it's hard to even imagine.
Yeah, so there's a picture that went with him. He was sitting on a bench, and this is how I saw it. I think the New York Post had it. He's just sitting on a bench, and somehow they got him to do it on his forearm. That's why I wanted to ask you. If you're going to harvest dicks, and like they're just going to grow dicks on you, you got to pick a spot that's not your forearm, right? I think that your forearm is going to be out. Even though it's summertime, maybe your calf, like a dick calf, or like right above your belt line so you can kind of tuck your dick into your belt line like it's a cell phone or something. Mm-hmm, you know, like you got to do something. You can't just have it on your forearm.
But so they're growing it there, and in the pictures he's kind of covering it, but it's like a legit dick growing on his arm. But if it works, if they're able to, did it say in the article or anything, like when are they finally going to reattach it and everything? Like when's the...
No, that's actually the reason why they had him sitting at the park there, seeing how much of it actually would work. They were having people of his sexual interest and like what he likes and his normal desires walk by and see if he got any type of bulged up on his arm.
But either way, if it works and they're able to like grow dicks and like whatever, I feel like it's a really big deal.
It's
so
awesome.
I don't know.
I mean,
cool.
We talked about it: brain surgery, heart surgery, all that stuff. Growing body parts out of your arm. Can we just find a coronavirus cure? Can we just pause dick science for a half a minute? That's all I'm saying. I just want to go outside. I just want to hang out without a mask. I understand that our guy in England needed to grow a new cock on his arm. But can he do it on his own time? Not during a pandemic? Seems kind of selfish.
You got to put your personal needs aside for the greater good at this point.
He's trying to draw back this round to a good side. And I just will.
I love dick arm guy. I love him.
Hell yeah. I wonder if you could be like a whole forest of them. Like if you wanted to do your good deed... Like, say you're done, you're retired, you're like a widow or a widower, and you've got nothing else going on. You see all these young couples that are experiencing dick troubles, and you're like, you know what, Doc? Just grow
dicks
just
on
grow
me.
Them on me like I'm a potato field.
For a price, I would grow a dick somewhere on my arms or legs for probably, I'd probably do it for $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
If it was just guaranteed 1 year to grow a dick on my body somewhere, for sure.
Oh, man. You got to snag up 100K? Katie's arm dick on Instagram.
Please, yeah. Katie's dick arm. I'm for sale. I got these bingo wings. It's loose. I feel like I could grow a fantastic dick under my either of
you know what would be funny? And what this if, what is if the you only way like... it would be funny. Other way, it's not funny at all. This is the only way it'd be funny. If you had a dick arm, Roman helmet. Right?
What's a Roman helmet?
Oh.
So, like, if you place your dick over somebody's forehead where it looks like the centurion helmet, like the metal thing that goes down the bridge of their nose.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
What a treat.
Roman helmet goofing. All right, let's move on to round number four. You know what we need?
You could be like, if you grew dicks on your forearms, you could be like Spider-Man shooting ropes.
I know. That'd be awesome. Like, if you had them all over the place and you saw, like, a really cool porn, you'd just be like, whoa.
Yeah. All right. Oh, if you're out there listening, 100,000 each dick under my arms.
Coming like a sea cucumber. Strings mm-hmm. everywhere. Looking yeah. like mm-hmm. fucking gritty.
A lot of ropes.
Anyways.
Gritty.
I don't. Let's move on to round number four.
Oh, I was waiting for you to hold on. I was waiting for you to rope in Feltman's on that one.
No. Let's do some Bertie Higgins, and then we have a more difficult subject to broach. It's always tough. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but we obviously want to mention the fact that there was a horrible event that happened over the weekend. The Marine Corps has identified 8 Marines and 1 sailor who died after their amphibious assault vehicle sank during a July 30th training exercise in the Pacific. The AAV, which sank after taking on water while training with other assets belonging to the 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit in the vicinity of San Clemente Island, had 16 total troops on board. While 7 of those troops were rescued and 2 subsequently hospitalized, 8 more remained missing. On Sunday, following a massive search and rescue effort involving Navy, Coast Guard, and Marine Corps vessels and aircraft, the Marine Corps announced that the troops were presumed dead. The missing include PFC Brian Baltaria, who was 19, of Corona, California, Lance Corporal Marco Barranco, who's 21, PFC Evan Bath, U.S. Hospital Corpsman Christopher Nem, PFC Jack Ryan Ostrowski, Corporal Wesley Rod, Lance Corporal Chase Sweetwood, Corporal Cesar Villanueva. It's obviously a terrible situation. I feel for those and really the families, obviously, but the other 7 who are surviving that were on board that aircraft or on that AAV are going to be going through some terrible, terrible things. Our thoughts are with them and with the entire unit and with the Marine Corps. It's a sad, sad moment whenever you have that kind of shit go down. Just absolutely terrible.
Yeah. It's seeing the ages, the oldest is 23 years old. I mean, 19, 19, 19, 21. It just absolutely breaks your heart. And reading comments from other AAV, other trackers who were like, man, you know, every time when I was stationed on Camp Pendleton, it happened, and we have a tracks bay, and the same thing happened, and a few Marines died. And just reading the comments saying, man, every time we had to go out, like, our stomach was in knots. Like, it was terrifying every single time. And just the, you know, I think we forget stateside, like, the training that these men and women go through and what they do. And there's so much real danger involved. And this just absolutely, like, it's, as everybody was commenting and saying, like, this is worst nightmare scenario. And again, like, your heart just, I mean, losing one friend is, it's like something that affects all of us, like, years later. And this is just, I mean, I'm rambling.
You make a great point, though, too, Kate. And I especially think now, 2020, we've been at war in Iraq and Afghanistan for so long that we've become desensitized to things happening over there. And then I think people in general, the public, just forget, when you're training to do something dangerous, then that training is inherently dangerous. There's a lot of safety precautions put into place. And I know, you know, junior troops and even, you know, officers will sometimes kind of roll their eyes and get annoyed at the safety briefings. But you see incidents like this happen and you realize that it is so important that you take the safety precautions seriously, because accidents do in fact happen. And I'm reminded last summer, you know, hearing about and reading about a training accident where a vehicle flipped over and killed a young man. So it's something that does happen and shouldn't be forgotten about, and my heart just breaks for all these young people.
And it's worth noting that they were from Bravo Company Battalion Landing Team 1-4 with the 15th MEU, and among the injured there's infantry as well, Marine Rifleman with Bravo Company, and a Marine Assault Amphibious Vehicle crew member from Mechanized Company BLT-1-4 who was not identified yet from 1MEF. But ugh, man, just, you know, hoping that at least the recovery efforts, at least they're able to find them and bring them home. I don't know how that would work, but, and I also believe that all the AAVs right now, from what I had read online,
yeah,
too,
they did a safety
no
stand down until they figure out what's going on.
Right.
It's terrible.
What happened there?
For sure. All right. Well, we're gonna move on. I want to talk about something that, in light of this, and I, not really in light of it, but because of it, like, there is, for years, I've struggled with sleeping. I've troubled with how, like, I go to bed. Like, I've had to wear headphones, and I've had to wear different types of earplugs and all kinds of shit. And that has all kind of changed. Like, in the last week and a half, I've had the best sleep of my life because of this. Like, 3Qi is a – it's a – they have an ad with us. And it is something that I really, really think has helped and could help a lot of people. They have THC in some of these, so if you are a military member, you could possibly pop dirty, so don't do it if you're on active duty. But for those that are out, or veterans or civilian listeners or whatever, if you're having trouble sleeping or anything like that, I would really give this company a try. It's been great. Kate, you've tried it too, right?
Yes, I've tried it, and it's legit. Yeah, people are like, oh, so THC, is it really whatever? And indeed it does.
Yeah,
indeed
so it is, yes, absolutely awesome. Go and try it for yourself. I like the gummies. Like, I just take one of the gummies, and
what's the specific one that you use for sleep?
I use the gummy ones, and it, yeah, that's like it. They come with either 8 or 16 of the gummies. You take one of them. I take it about 45 minutes before I want to go to bed, an hour. I just feel very, very relaxed, go to sleep. Wake up and I feel solid, not like hungover, drowsy or anything like that, just ready to start today. I really, really recommend it. Go to 3qi.com with the promo code 0. You're going to save 5% off. It is absolutely awesome. I can't recommend it high enough. In fact, like, they only paid for the ad on the podcast. I like it so much, I've been talking about it on Instagram and Twitter, because I really think there's a huge portion of our listenership that could really benefit from something like that. And if you don't have medical marijuana legal, like we don't in Texas and their other states, they are using a hemp-derived version of THC, which is legal. If it's not legal in your state, they won't ship it to you. So if you can get it shipped to you, it is legal in your state. Check it out, 3qi.com with the promo code 0 at checkout. You're going to get 5% off. It is worth it. Trust me on that. Let's move on to round number 5. This weekend,
was a little bit different for me because we went to I took my family to a Black Lives Matter protest. Well, I guess they took me. My wife was the one that got it going. It was with our church and everything. And they did like a car protest where we just kind of went through the city. And we got into the car. The whole squad got in the car. It was the first time my family of four had all been in the car together since March 3rd.
Wow.
Cardi, whenever Cardi got in the car, McCarty was like, I don't remember the last time I was in a car. And I was like, well, when do you think it was? And they said, I went to Minnie's birthday, like a drive-by birthday thing. And that was like 3 months ago. McCartney hasn't even left the house in 3 months. Next week, we start back at school. Kelsey's doing all different types of like virtual band again. Virtual school is going to get started up. But think about how crazy that would have been last year.
Yeah.
If I got on the podcast and I said, my family hasn't been in a car together for 6 months, you would think we were a divorce family, like that we weren't a family that lives together. It is crazy. And it got me thinking, what are some of the things that you're doing now that if you didn't do them in 2019 that you would have thought were ridiculous?
Not going to bars.
Yeah.
No. Well, but that's not true now because now I'm back going to bars sitting outside. So I guess that stint of months where I didn't go to bars.
Yeah.
Running in circles for an hour in my living room.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. You know, I was always a weird solo roller. And so this hasn't changed. I've always been a weird loner. So this, I've definitely been like taking advantage of my car and going like getting out into the boonies on the weekends and stuff and just like, hey, going for drives and shit like that is such a delight, especially if you're stuck at home or whatever. So I'm surprised, like I'm like, oh, take the fam out into like the hill country or something weird and like go boonie, find a good river goofing. I love finding swimming holes up here and shit like that. But yeah, no, so I'm still just as weird as I was. It is weird not going to bars and being an absolute piece of shit. Because I definitely have toned down, like, my drinking and stuff a lot. Like, even when I go out, I don't want to be in the crowded spots or anything like that. So that's definitely toned down a little bit.
Wait,
I learned a TikTok.
Should we talk about that very quickly, about TikTok?
For me. I never would have thought that.
I don't, you know, we've lost
that is it
so
by the wayside
track
or what?
So much of
know.
What the president can actually do. Like, we talk about executive orders. Executive orders have changed drastically in 30 years. Mm-hmm. What the president and the executive branch has power to do, we need to fucking get rid of the Patriot Act. That thing is trampling all over our rights. Right, Kyle?
Yes.
Yeah, we hate it.
Thanks, Monty. Thanks, Monty.
Well, the ban is on hold. Trump has now put the ban on hold for 45 days. But it's reportedly allowing Microsoft to pursue, because for I guess the Microsoft is looking to buy the U.S. The U.S.'s clump of TikTok or whatever. And apparently that was being threatened as well. But now so let's see. President Trump is reportedly allowing Microsoft to pursue an acquisition of on the condition that the deal be reached within 45 days. So, there goes, guys can hear it. Okay, good. Anyways, there we go. So that's the latest on that. I can still keep making TikToks of my cat's fork for now.
I think TikTok has calmed down a lot, but for my kids' age, that's all they care about. Like, legitimately.
Yeah, it's crazy.
TikTok is all they care about. It's where they get all their news from, all that. I wish I would have been more involved in TikTok from the jump.
I'm not going to lie. It's one of those things still for me. I'll sit down on the couch, start flipping, and all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit, an hour and a half just went by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some really bad ones, but just like Vine, you find gems in there that you're like, this is a delight. This is funny. This is good. Like, I don't know. I fall into it.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I could totally see that. All right, let's move on to a little bit of save rounds and alibis. What do you got, Kate?
I have nothing, really, I guess. My eyebrows, hopefully they lighten up soon. That's the big news over here.
I think your eyebrows look lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're great.
They're very expressive. If you can see them close up, it's jarring. I'm wondering in the military if I had higher ups, if they would be cool with this, or they'd be like, what are you doing?
No, I don't think they would notice.
I don't think they would notice, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, like, what? There's nothing against regulations about changing your hair color.
Oh, yeah, it can't be eccentric.
If it's eccentric, like, I think if I had gone any bigger and any darker, I at least would have gotten roasted. I maybe wouldn't have gotten in trouble, but they'd be like,
why don't you see how big you can make your eyebrows? Just get them as big as possible.
Just too enormous, enormous. All right, I'll work
on
it.
Or have that be like your dick farm. Like, instead of eyebrows, just grow some dicks.
For $500,000, I would grow one on my forehead if it was temporary.
Oh, yeah, me too. Easy. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Easy. Face fucking. All right. Cons, what do you got?
I have two save rounds right here. Over the weekend, I was reminded, it's funny, when the four of us are just sitting here chatting, you kind of forget that this goes out to, you know, a fairly decent amount of people. And I'm always kind of blown away when people I know, friends of mine, will say, hey, I listen. And I just, not that I assume anything, but, you know, you always just kind of think like, oh, it's a bunch of strangers listening. And you forget that sometimes you have people that you actually know, besides your parents, that actually listen to the show. And a buddy reached out to me, or we reached out to him this weekend, this guy, Pat Schramm. And he reminded me of how he used to G-chat me when I was in Iraq. And it really was very helpful that he would sit and G-chat me for 2 hours at a time sometimes, just to kind of keep me up on what was going on at home and what was going on with him. And I always really appreciated that. So shout out to Pat Schramm, who apparently is an avid ZBT listener as well. Doesn't miss an episode.
Hello, Pat.
So thank you, Pat. Yes.
Definitely.
And then just I bear with me. I want to read an Instagram DM that I got from this user called Jay Sizzle. Cons: reaching out FA officer to FA officer with a serious ask. On May 6, 2020, one of my previous soldiers, Sergeant Justin Story, took his own life. After taking some time to really think about some of the issues plaguing veterans today, another one of my incredible soldiers, Staff Sergeant Chris LeBlois, started hashtag Storytime. The message behind hashtag Storytime is to reach out to fellow brothers and sisters in arms on the 22nd of each month at 1800 and check in with them. You guys often talking about how important it is to check in on your battle buddies, and Chris is trying to do just that. He himself has had his own struggle with mental health, and this time last year he attempted to take his own life. Chris is doing something incredibly positive and trying to spread his message as fast as possible. So check out hashtag Storytime, and it's just kind of similar to what we do on Sundays where we do a mental health check. It's really awesome what Storytime folks are doing, and it's storytimeproject.com if you want to check it out. And I just think that's awesome that veterans are taking things upon themselves to help their fellow veterans.
Definitely.
No doubt.
Very cool.
Kyle?
I got two. One about TikTok. Stop sending us DMs saying TikTok is Chinese propaganda in a spy platform. I don't fucking care. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just shut the fuck
neither,
up.
Me neither, man. I don't care either.
We're posting if it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if it's funny, we're going to post it. And if you think that China is not in every other goddamn thing you're on the internet for, then you're an idiot. So just...
boom.
Yeah.
Tell him, Big Kyle. God damn it.
I'm so sick of these fucking people.
Oh, yeah.
And then second...
Get him, Monty. Yeah. Get him.
And second thing, just doing a little hurricane goofing down here, which is always kind of fun, you know, like... when you were a kid, when the power would go out and you get to, like, light candles.
Slack different on quarantine, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is going to be a little weird. But, yeah, just getting ready for that. Got the generator set up and my, like, 30 gallons of gas all inventoried. So, just getting ready.
Yours is a house I would feel good in if a hurricane coming. Mm-hmm. I just got a text message from my Con Ed saying, storm coming tomorrow, power's probably going to go out.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, we suck. We'll be out.
They know. Like, so. Yeah. We have no power here, and we're a power company. Mm-hmm. Get it? Anyways, that's all I got.
All right, well, Godspeed in the storm.
I don't have much. Been a slow... every day feels like the same. I legitimately feel like I'm living Groundhog Day. I just need
something
different.
Buddy, you gotta go... you saying that, you gotta go on a road trip.
I do. Speaking of, I legit have been trying to talk Annalisa into getting an RV. Like, I want to do it. I want to buy an RV and go to, like, the Grand Canyon, do live shows, the Chaps and Kate show, do that shit live over the phone while I'm just goofing all over the country. I gotta get the fuck out of here, man.
But even get a small Airbnb this weekend somewhere, and, like, they can leave the keys. You don't even have to see anybody else. Like, go into the boonies and get out of there for a weekend or something, dude. Like, you have your car, get out of there.
Well, I am going to build a chicken coop next weekend, so I'm excited about that.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's a thing.
New coop goofing.
New coop goofing.
Imagine the stories your daughters will have years from now. Ugh, remember when Dad took us in the RV all over America? Mm-hmm. But they'll appreciate it.
I doubt it. They're fucking little turds, no doubt. All right, we'll be back on Friday. Enjoy your week, everybody. It's on the retreat.